this is your third album, your first and full repeat, and your second, Frozen Star Palace. Can you just, for the people that haven't heard you before, can you just describe what those albums were like and how it kind of led into your third album, Tornadoes?
Sure. The first album, Sandfall Repeat, is more of a raw roots rock country album. It was recorded with my band, who was based in Milwaukee at the time, and those guys were called Stick Pony, and they were awesome. And when we went in to record that record, it was, you know, stuff that we've been playing and reworking and all sort of, you know, playing it out live and kind of getting a feel of what we wanted the songs to sound like and how to shape them and stuff. So that song, or that album, excuse me, was in 04, I think. Yeah, that was 04, 2004. And then Frozen Star Palace was out in 2006. And that album was kind of recorded in a couple different places. It was recorded in Los Angeles with a guy, Barry Goldberg, who was great. And he did a lot of the, you know, vocal recording, and we did most of that out there, but we did some of the band-based recording in Milwaukee and Chicago, and that album is a little bit more produced, I think, sounding. It's kind of what I wanted to step up to, you know, whereas the first album was a little bit more of a live feel. We had tracked and recorded everything within 2 weeks. Frozen Star Palace was just a little bit more poppy, a little bit more shine and sugar, I guess. Yeah, I mean, there's still country elements on that one, but it tended to be less, a little bit less of the country influence. I mean, there's a song, Ugly Side, on there, which is totally, you know, crazy, rollicking, country, southern sounding. But some of the other songs are definitely more pop, and yeah, that was a fun record to make. Both of them were fun records to make in their own special and unique ways. And then this album is kind of a blend, I think, of the last two. It's a little bit more worked and reworked like the first album, I felt, was. Even though the first album was recorded live, we had played those songs, like, just tons of times before we went into the studio. And this album, I feel like, kind of has that sense in that I really, even though I wasn't playing the songs out live necessarily, I reworked the songs with Scott, my husband. He's also a co-writer on a number of the songs. And we worked them out here, like, just a lot before they went into the studio. And if I didn't like something with this album, I had the luxury of time, which was great because I could rework it and rework it. And then if I wanted to re-record it, we'd just go back into the studio and re-record it, which in a couple of cases of the songs we did. But this song is kind of a blend, like I said, of the previous two, in that it's still got the roots, rock, true to the songs vibe like the first album, and it's got some of the sheen and production of the second album, yet it's not too shiny, which I like. I mean, it's big and it's beautiful, which I love, and it's, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's definitely produced, so it's not like you go, oh, she should have re-sung that one. I mean, I definitely spent the time I needed to on everything, but yet it's, like, really, I think, really true to the songs. It's, you know, I just spent so much time on every song. I'm really happy with it. So it's kind of like, for me, the best of the first two albums, but, like, in the third album. And I don't know, I've talked to a number of people in their life, always like, it's your third album. That's the third album that's, you know, that's your true voice when your voice finally comes out. And I definitely feel like that is true with this album. So.
Okay, two of the songs on the album I've had the opportunity of listening to, Vacancy and Spare Me, and to be totally honest, they sound completely different. It's almost like it's a different person singing both songs. Like, Vacancy, you kind of have a little, like, Sheryl Crow kind of thing going on in there, and especially with the lyrics, they're very snappy, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you want a good beer buzz early in the morning kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Spare Me sounds different, you know? Like, your voice, you're a little bit more, there's a little bit more bass in your voice. Like, you're a little bit deeper, but, like, it definitely it just sounds completely different. What was the thought process going into both of those two songs?
Well, for Vacancy, that was recorded at a studio here in Austin called Congress House Studio. And one thing that's different is the microphone that was used. So, you know, some of the qualities that you might be hearing in the difference of the of what you're hearing, the bassiness in the voice or something like that versus more treble or more high-end, some of that is picked up with different microphones. Different mics do amazingly different things for a voice. But as far as, like, the whatever song genre or song feeling that you're maybe describing, you know, where it's Vacancy is, like you said, more Sheryl Crow, kind of a little bit more of a country rock kind of vibe. That one I wrote when I first got here to Austin, and it's kind of like my Austin song, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of, I wrote it as I was driving down Congress Avenue,
yeah,
which is South Congress Avenue, which is a big, cool street here. And we lived off of Congress Avenue when we first moved here at the very end. And I just was like, well, I've never done this before where you just sit in the car. Obviously, I wasn't the one driving, but sit in the car and just write down everything you see as you're driving down the street. And that's kind of that song. Spare Me was actually a totally different song than what you hear now. It was a song that had, like, absolutely no inspiration, and the lyrics were really different than what you hear now. And just one night in the middle of the night, it was like, I don't know, last August, it was like 100 degrees, and the air conditioner was constantly running, which was totally picked up by the microphone. But anyway, I don't know. My husband had redone the bass part, and it sounded so much better, and I hated all the lyrics that were currently there, so I just scrapped them all, and I just kind of wrote something that was really spontaneous and coming to my mind and kind of hilarious at the same time. There was a lot of political stuff going on in my, you know, in the world and in my brain at the time, and I just thought, you know, kind of just Spare Me, dude. Like, it just kind of seems like, I don't know, you know, like, the world can be such a happy place, and it can be really positive, and I just was like, you know, instead of all this, you know, hate, like, just, you know, love. It was just more of a love song. So the fact that it doesn't sound like it's in the same genre, you know, I didn't worry about that. I think, you know, maybe in a previous life or something, I would have been like, oh, but they don't sound like each other. I really should rewrite it. I just was kind of being true to whatever my feelings and emotions were at the time, and they were written pretty much 4 years apart, too. So, like, I was in a different musical place, you know, and I may be in a different musical place every month. I guess for me, I'm not one of those people that it has to be, like, you know, what's consistent for me is the song. It's not necessarily, like, writing in the exact same genre or time signature, or, you know, there needs to be violins in every song, or the banjo part needs to come in here, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I'm not really like that. And because I don't have a band that's, like, forcing me to be like that, I'm not like that.
Yeah. You've done a lot of traveling in your life. I mean, you're originally from Kansas City. You spent time in Milwaukee. Now you're in Austin. How do you think that's affected your songwriting and your performing?
Well, I kind of joke that, like, if you look at them on the map, they're, like, in a nice, almost straight line down from each other. It's just, like, I keep going up and down, like, I-35, although I guess, you know, Milwaukee's not off I-35. But, yeah, it's affected me. You know, Austin, I feel like, is the best place so far for my creativity and songwriting. But, man, Milwaukee has such a great little, I shouldn't call it little, but it had such a great music scene. It was like there were so few people that were in it that we really all knew each other, and it was really, really supportive. And in Milwaukee is where, you know, I started to really play out, you know, the live audiences more so. I mean, I left Kansas City in when I was 18 to go to college, actually, in Milwaukee. And so, you know, in Kansas City, I really wasn't playing in more than, like, high school. But, you know, I was playing in, like, rock bands in high school. But we never really thought ever about playing out live. I mean, that just wasn't, unlike Austin, there really wasn't a lot of opportunity in Kansas City as a high school band to be doing more than, like, you know, Battle of the Bands or something, you know, playing in your parents' basement or garage or whatever. Milwaukee was where I started playing out live more. I booked bands, actually, when I was in college, so I kind of became more familiar with the different venues that were available. And I mean, I actually booked for my university, but just by doing that, I became more, you know, aware of the scene and who was in it and, you know, all that good stuff. So Milwaukee was really... It's such a great place. I kind of miss it. I don't miss the weather, but I kind of miss the people. They were really great. And then Austin is just, like I said, it's just completely inspiring. I mean, the sunlight here every day is great. I'm, like, big in the nice sunlight, so there's a lot of vitamin D here. And just, there's so many creative people. It's not, like, a weird thing when you say, like, you're a musician or you're a songwriter. Somebody's like, oh, cool, you know, so is my sister, whatever. You know, those other cities that I lived in, when you say that you're a musician or a songwriter, they're kind of like, no, but really, what do you do? Like, it just wasn't as much of a viable source of income. And I know that that's kind of stereotyping all Milwaukee. Certainly, there are amazing musicians that make a good living, a great living, that are living in Milwaukee. But as a whole, there are just a lot more creative people that live in Austin that are, make a living doing it. And it's just less of a... you know, an odd or a, you know, unique thing. It's more common here. And I definitely feel like Austin is the place I'm supposed to be right now in my life. So I love it.
Okay, great. Over the course of the first two albums, I mean, you've been compared to people like Sarah McLachlan, Chrissy Hynde. I just made a Sheryl Crow reference. I mean, does that give you some, you know, positive momentum you feel going into this third album, which, I mean, is going to be released in a couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice when I hear that, you know, somebody thinks I sound like Bonnie Raitt. I mean, that's awesome. I love Bonnie Raitt. She's great. Yeah, and, you know, Chrissy Hynde, I mean, she's cooler than me, but I will take that reference, too, and Sheryl Crow, I'm such a huge fan. You know, she's a lot different than I am. Her writing style is different lyrically, but I feel like musically, I think I kind of come from the same place, you know, that she does, living, you know, growing up in, like, whatever, Missouri, Kansas. I mean, she grew up in Missouri, whatever, but it's that sort of Midwestern background, and, yeah, I don't know. I think that's great. I haven't really not liked anyone that I've been compared to, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. As far as the flavor of this album, what do you think it would be if someone asked you, you know, what's this album all about? You know, probably just, like, you know, throw, like, a label on it. I know musicians don't like to do that, but for people that have never heard you before, just... give them something to expect. Well, what do you think that you would say that the flavor, the musical flavor of this album would be?
I think this album has more of a 60s, 70s flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds like a record. Like, in my mind, this album should be on vinyl. I think that it's just really true to the song. Each song has, like, I don't know, so much, sounds like so much love, but each album, or each song in the album, we spent a ton of time making sure that it was true to the song, you know, whether it's, like, the guitar playing on it, and, you know, and that's something just in itself. I mean, the guitar playing on this album, and you said you've heard two songs, but song Tornadoes, which you haven't heard. I mean, even if you don't like what I'm saying or my voice or anything else, I mean, if you don't love the guitar playing on that song, like, there's something wrong with you. I mean, the guitar playing on that song is just amazing, and really throughout the whole record, but, you know, there's there's a voice given to the different instruments on the song, you know, and like I said, in particular, guitar playing. The song like Black Hole Heart, I only do one verse and one chorus, and the whole rest of the song is like solos from different instruments. And
nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
It's almost
Metallica-esque. Yeah, since we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it... I listened to Pink Floyd when I was in high school, and The Doors, and, you know, kind of the... I don't know. I guess they'd be classic rock or whatever, but just, you know, just, like, albums where... And bands where, like, there was, like, an energy to them where you're just, like, listening, and you're, like... You just feel it, you know, it's not like words and silliness and whatever, I mean, you know, we're jumping around, whatever, it's like you're listening to, like, music, and, I don't know, I really feel like that, you know, and I guess it's kind of vain of me to think that, maybe, but because so many other people played on the record that weren't me, I mean, I feel like just the album really has so much to offer, you know, for just a lot of different reasons, and I feel like it's definitely more of that 60s, 70s vibe where, you know, you listen to the album and you just be like laying there and just like, that is like the coolest guitar part. I'm going to rewind it and listen to it again, or like, I love that harmony there, you know, and I hope that this album is like that for some people. So it's like it for me. So I hope it's like for somebody else too.